As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello, welcome to Full Time with Meg Linehan. You are listening to a podcast all about women's soccer on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Meg, your host, and I'm a national staff writer at the Athletic covering the NWSL and the U.S. Women's National Team. I've got a lot of laughs, but also some very good and thoughtful discussion on today's show for you as I am joined by the two women behind Gal Pal Sports, Leslie Ryder and Emily Anderson, to discuss their approach to comedy and content and the culture of the NWSL as the league grows. Before we get to today's news recap and then that interview, a quick reminder, you can subscribe to The Athletic for just $3.99 a month and also show your support for the coverage of women's soccer and women's sports by visiting theathletic.com/fulltime. Here is the big news of the week. So we got the first U.S. Women's National Team friendly set for April with the team heading to Europe as expected. That first match will be against Sweden on April 10th. And the great news here is that the game will be broadcast on Fox, not FS1, but Big Fox. The Federation is also still working on the arrangements for a second friendly for April 13th. Canada also has plans for the international break and will be making their own Euro trip. They play Wales on April 9th. And then England on April 13th. We do have at least one NWSL schedule in place, with the league releasing all of the details of the 2021 Challenge Cup earlier this week. I've got the full breakdown of the format, some games to watch, and basically everything that you could potentially even want to know in advance of the games kicking off next month up at The Athletic. That link will be in the show notes. So far, there is not much in the way of super surprising results from the round of 16 in the Champions League. Chelsea, Bayern, Barcelona, Wolfsburg, and Lyon have all advanced to the final eight. No surprises there. Man City plays on Thursday. PSG, though, will have to wait for their second leg until March 17th. One press release that I did not expect this week came from U.S. Congress, with two congresswomen introducing a new piece of legislation to address the equal pay issue for the U.S. Women's National Team. Representatives Doris Matsui from Sacramento and Rosa DeLauro of the 3rd District of Connecticut introduced what they're calling the Goals Act, which stands for Give Our Athletes Level Salaries, and would also specifically block any and all federal funding for the 2026 World Cup until U.S. soccer pays the U.S. Women's National Team fair and equitable wages. Now, there's not a lot of details on how Congress might interpret this, but just as a reminder, this is pretty much exactly why U.S. soccer hired lobbyists. FIFA does not enjoy it when the government starts interfering with World Cup funding. They have previously introduced a version of this legislation back in 2019. Joe Manchin from West Virginia has also said that he would do this. And also, just as a reminder, Joe Biden tweeted last year, to U.S. soccer, equal pay now, or else when I'm president, you can go elsewhere for World Cup funding. So introducing this particular bill, again, is just the first step of many, many steps, but it is something to watch. And also, of course, just as a fun marking of time, this Monday was the two-year anniversary of the lawsuit being filed by the U.S. Women's National Team players against the Federation. And again, what a journey those 2 years have been. Okay, news done. As promised, Emily and Leslie from Galpal Sports are here with me on full time to discuss their approach to comedy, content, and community in women's soccer, and plenty more. Now, if you haven't seen any of their videos, maybe even hit pause on this podcast right now, go visit galpalsports.com first. You can watch a video or two. I am actually in at least one of them, and then you can come back to the podcast. But once you're ready, here is Emily and Leslie. And while you cannot obviously see this on a podcast, Leslie chose to wear her Meg is the schedule out yet t-shirt because, of course. So to start, how about just for, since I can see you both on Zoom and your faces, but let's do a little introduction because some of the people listening might just know you as the greater concept of Gal Pal Sports. So let's actually introduce the Gal Pals in question. So you can be your own individual people.
A concept. Oof. I don't know. Individuality scares me. Uh-huh. We've developed a safety in numbers over the last year for sure. Which is actually the opposite of what we should have learned. I'm Emily. I am by day a product manager in tech, but I've been a soccer fan and soccer player my whole life. Started playing when I was 5 and been following along the women's soccer community as long as I can remember, Meg in particular, but since I don't know when. And then, yeah, this is my fiance, Leslie.
That's me.
That's you.
Yeah, we're gonna do that thing.
Yep,
we are.
I'm Leslie. I am an actor / writer / comedy person. I don't like saying comedian because I don't think I own that yet.
You'll get there.
But that's what I do. And we're living in LA. Mm-hmm. And I had worked as an event manager in catering. And obviously in the year of our Lord 2020, that went away. So 2020 gave me a lot of time to work on this.
Yep.
Yeah. I want to talk to the two of you about that. I want to start there because, you know, I feel like I remember getting the follow and laughing at the name. Right. So first I want to talk to you about like when you're thinking about, okay, we're going to make this Twitter and we're going to start making videos. What was the thought process of the actual like handle and the name of Gal Pal Sports? Because I have a very definitive thing where my brain goes when I think about the term Gal Pals, especially in the realm of sports, and that's Abby Wambach and Sarah Huffman.
That's the exact kickoff actually of it, at least in my brain. I don't know about yours. I think you came up with it though.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought of that, but I feel like around the time that was when there was a lot of stuff on TV where it was like in Supergirl where mm-hmm. where there was like an Urban Dictionary definition of like
Gal Pal Lena
of like Kara and Lena are gal pals sharing this moment together.
Yeah, and so it is a joke. I think if you get it, you get it, and if you don't, that's okay. We're happy to bring you in, and hopefully you get it eventually, but if you don't, that's okay too. Also, maybe it's not for you then, and that's also okay. But yeah, at the point too, we were just dating. So I think it was kind of fun of like, what are we? And occasionally we had been confused for sisters or friends.
Yes,
or
yes, we'd go to games together, and we got sisters a lot.
Yeah,
it was the very random USA game in San Jose, and sisters was a big one. It was like, oh yeah, no, we're dating.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, just in terms of, so the actual formation was in 2019, right?
I think so.
Yeah. That checks out. Yeah.
I pulled it off of your website. So I feel like you can trust yourselves in terms of.
Thank you. It feels more official coming from you being a reporter.
Meg says we were founded in 2019. So
I accept it as fact.
Right. Okay. In terms of what, as you were just talking about 2020, obviously it felt like all of a sudden there was just a lot more content coming from the two of you. So what has the last, I mean, now we're kind of like at a year, right? Like we're pretty much at the kind of shutdown anniversary. So that's, you know, a joy in and out of itself. I guess actually the day that this episode drops is the 11th, which was the final U.S. women's national team game until November, right? So that is kind of like, in my brain, the 1 year anniversary of watching everything kind of collapse.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really interesting benchmark, because I think I remember watching that game and being like, should we be doing this? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we, at that time, we had kind of already started our, we're going to stay inside for a while, because I had just come from working a wedding in Palm Desert with 900 people, and LA was already in, it's like, we're doing a state of emergency, so it was like, let's ride this out for a couple of weeks and see where we're at.
Yeah, and I thankfully was able to work from home. My company went remote very early on, which gave us more time together to make more content, for better or for worse. Nah, for better.
For better.
For better. We were just talking about how over 2020, and when we first started, we had all these ideas about stuff we wanted to do, and we actually had plans to go to spring training in 2020 in Arizona.
That weekend.
And we canceled the trip, and we were going to make content there, and it was kind of one of our first big, we're going to go out and, you know, talk to people and make something funny. I think especially around the Astros was part of it.
Oh yeah. That got swept under the rug real quick.
Sure did. Bigger things happened. But we had all these big ideas, but I don't think we're necessarily prepared to execute them. And then everything shutting down and us being stuck inside for all intents and purposes kind of forced us to play with the tools we had on hand and the skills we already had and figure out a process for making content. It also just allowed us to communicate a lot more during the day.
Yeah.
So that ideas could come up more organically. So as you know, I'm passing, say, hey, did you see that article from so-and-so about this thing? And you'd say, yeah, I got an idea. And then, you know, next thing I know, there's a Google Doc that I'm being asked to look at.
The Google Doc of, I mean, that is kind of like the magic, right? Of just being like, hey, I have this idea. Can you please look at that? So, I mean, I do that with my wife on any number of things where I'm just like, I put something here. Can you please look at it and tell me like, yes, no, should I keep going?
Yep. Yeah. She's become the trusted eyes of, okay, now that I've tweaked it enough that I don't hate it, you can look at it and tell me that what you like about it and what you hate about it.
Yeah. And you being the comedy person and more practiced, at least in writing for entertainment and like script purposes, all have an idea, but don't necessarily know how to put words to the joke that I see. And so me trying to translate ideas to you of like, here's an idea. Please tell me yes, no, or maybe.
I got you this.
Yeah. This is a rock. I need you to make a house out of it. And so that's kind of been the process lately is one of us will have an idea. Leslie will do most of the writing. And then when she gets to a point where she's good with it, we'll start collaborating on what it takes to get it from paper to screen.
In terms of 2020 content, I mean, obviously, and you're not just making stuff about women's soccer, right? Like there's NWHL stuff. There's I think football in there as well. Like it's kind of,
yeah, you know, we're a bit at our whims a bit.
Yeah. Is there a video that stands out to you in terms of whether it was just something that you really enjoyed making or got like a really good reaction where you're just like, oh yeah, that was the one where it was like, oh, okay. Like we can kind of see where this is going.
I mean, working with Jillian Fisher was a lot of fun during the Challenge Cup. That was something that I feel like once that hit, it was like, oh, okay, this people like this and people want to see more of that. And it's like it's resonating with people and they like it. It's nice to hear it when people like things. That's just how I feel.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of different points of where different pieces have felt like they've clicked. That one was really good. I think
It was fun for you to get to play with other people that weren't me. Or myself. I was doing a lot of trying to do it myself.
Yeah. And then the journalist hotline one was quite fun. But I really do think one of the biggest milestones was the shirt video.
That one kind of kicked us off, I think. It really pulled us out of a slump. We were kind of silent for a bit, and then that idea hit, and we were just like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. The most recent favorite one is probably the sky blue Elise one, just because it the most recent like winter preseason, it touched on a lot of things I think that have been working for us, but also felt really true to us being stuck in Michigan in the snow through winter this year.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah, I did want to ask you, because I feel like Elise is a very common character. Like, and I don't want to say like Elise LaHue, the human and general manager of Sky Blue, but kind of this concept of Elise.
It's like an Elise.
Yeah.
One of the great things about Elise is that she's someone who is extremely transparent about all of the good, the bad, the ugly, and like that's kind of a rarity for someone in her position in women's sports. Like
any sports.
Yeah, I mean, Emily likes to call it toxic positivity, something that we are afflicted with a bit
in sports, in tech. I think it's a lot of places. But Elise will give it to you realistically. She's approachable. She's available. But also I think there's something in her that we recognize and really appreciate, is that transparency, but also the willingness to kind of do the groundwork and get a thing done. So when they didn't have the beer garden that they were supposed to have. And, you know, I think that was one of my first introductions to Elise, was her just getting out there with beers and being like, we're having a beer garden.
Here's my grocery cart full of Budweiser, hard seltzer, blue. Like, I just remember, I think she had like three carts worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, we're doing this.
It's like a cooler and it's like, it's a beer garden now. And it was like, that's really cool. It's really cool to see that energy get put in. But also Elise is up for a good joke, and I hope takes it with a grain of appreciation, or like knows that imitation truly is the sincerest form of flattery. It also helps that, you know, you don't look too different. So it's an easy character to slip into.
Yeah. They just throw on the glasses and it's not too hard, but you know, Emily cuts her own hair. So if she were to ever shave it too short, there might be a Paul Riley video coming your way. So just be on the lookout.
Yeah.
Can you do the accent, though, is the question.
I mean, we'll put on some British TV for a bit and you'll just slip in.
Yeah.
I have the benefit of having lived in England for a year. And I do the annoying thing where I pick up other people's accents. So it wouldn't take too much to do.
I mean, honestly, just as someone who has covered Paul Riley for a really long time, I mean, the primary joke with Paul, and I think he would be first to admit this, like, but any single media availability, or if you're doing an interview with him, you get that one first question in, and then you wait for 8 minutes while he literally, I mean, the great thing with him, you know, I wrote that Dabinia story, right, a couple of weeks ago. And so I'm like, okay, I do want to talk to Paul, because like, one of my favorite genres of stories is just like say nice things about a person that I then get to work into a story. But like with Paul, like you just know, okay, I'm going to get that first question in, and then it's just going to be 10 minutes of praise about Davinia. And I'm not going to have, like, he's going to hit all of the questions that I'm probably going to ask anyway, because he's just mentally running down the list of things that he appreciates about Davinia. But like, that is Paul, is if you get him on a topic that he really like, he's just going to, 10 minutes later, you'll be like, okay, thanks.
Like, my second question, I think you covered 4 minutes ago. So I think we're good here.
Thanks. That's my time.
Yeah. I just like every time that, I mean, and obviously North Carolina has been in the championship a lot, but if you go back to watch like the media things that they live stream, like there'll be a question for Paul and it's like Rory Dames just sitting on the podium, like, I guess.
Oh, yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch with the, like Rory in his hoodie is something that I hope to explore in the future. Cause he seems like one of those, silent, gentle souls who looms large, but, like carries the big stick, but like won't necessarily use it.
Yeah. Also very committed to a hoodie, just real, real commitment to the hoodie life in a way that I don't personally understand, considering that he's wearing it in Orlando and it's 90 degrees with 100% humidity. And I'm just like, are you melt? Like, what are you doing in there?
I might be fitting into this video better than I thought. I'm the person wearing jeans in like August, like in the middle of the heat. So maybe it's meant to be.
It could be.
Maybe that's right.
Our proximity to Chicago, it's going to work out.
It's true.
All right. I had one other just kind of like bigger picture question about some of your process, because I think, especially when it comes to NWSL videos in particular, you know, I think that a lot of the humor has been kind of gentle in its own way. Like it's never really pushing that many buttons. And I think it comes from this place of like love, like we're going to make fun of this thing, but if anyone else tries to make fun of this thing, we're going to fight you. Right. And I think that it is kind of this interesting dynamic. And I think we're going to get into a larger discussion here about kind of the culture around the NWSL, but in terms of like the humor that you're trying to incorporate into the NWSL, like, do you have that sense of like, this is our thing to kind of protect, but also like, we're doing this in a very loving way at the same time?
I think yes.
Yeah.
And no.
I think we feel that, that make it come from a loving place for sure.
Yeah. It's authentic. We do love it.
We love this. Like we make fun because we love this thing. I would say for me, I kind of feel that that dome of protectiveness over pretty much all women's sports. Cause if you put out anything about whether it's women's soccer or you put out a WNBA post that's a highlight, there's going to be some idiot who comes into the comments immediately like, this sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, that's okay. It's not for you. Move along. Like, I don't know how to get to a point where we're like, it's okay to just be neutral on on women's sports and leave it alone.
Yeah. Like you can just be quiet. Yeah. No one has asked you. Like, I mean, it's like when I get comments on stories, like, I don't know how this got into my feed, but I'm so offended that I literally have to come into this post and leave a comment to tell you.
It's like, that this is terrible. You really don't.
My favorite are the ones where they say, I don't care. And it's like, you've demonstrated you care because you're time. It's energy. Most limited resources are time and energy. And you're spending yours here. The way I think of it in terms of like our humor and the league, I don't think it's, no one else can make fun of it. If anything, I think even when I see someone else doing, you know, comedic videos in the realm, I'm excited about it because it means more people are talking about it. Sure. I do think there is kind of an earned time in the system though. But that's true of any community that I think anyone comes into new. You should take time to do a lot of listening, and I'm not going to say learning, but looking around and understanding what you're entering into. And so the way we think of it, I think, is kind of like, this is our sibling, and we can tease them out of love and we can call them a butthead, but it's because we want those things to get better and we want to help them get better. But if the bully from down the street comes to try to pick on our younger sibling, now we're going to fight you because you don't get to pick on him. We get to pick on him.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I think this is a good spot for us to seek into kind of this bigger topic, because I mean, I frequently engage in conversations with the two of you. And what's fun is I always DM just like the Gal Pal Sports account. So I'm not always entirely sure which one of you I'm actually
talking
to.
It's usually me. It's usually me.
Unless someone is like, oh, hey, it's Leslie. It's a, and I'm just like, oh, okay. This is the one I'm talking to right at the moment. But just in terms of, you know, I think that we went through kind of this interesting patch where, okay, like, you know, I sign off on Meg as the schedule out yet shirts, right? And going, okay, it's going to be for charity. Like, cool, great. And it is kind of what I find really interesting about this joke is, like, first of all, I don't really know how it happened because I have never ever pretend, like, even it didn't even happen when I really worked in the league, when I would actually know when it was only after I left, which makes even less sense to me. that people really started asking me, like, when is the schedule coming out? And I was like, I would have been able to tell you this a year ago, but, and now I have no idea. And obviously we got like three different versions of the schedule in 2020. So it became this kind of like really terrible feedback loop over and over and over again. And now, like, I think it's really interesting because obviously this week there was a lot of joking about it, right? And it's just kind of like, and what's fun is sometimes I will reply to people and be like, I just honestly, like, I hate to tell you this, but like, I don't have the bandwidth to try to like chase down this kind of ultimately for me, not that important piece of information. Right. Like, yes, I also would like a schedule because it is going to allow me to plan. And I definitely think the schedule is super important, but like in the grand scheme of information around the NWSL, this is like 10th on my priority list at best.
And like, they're not going to give it to you because you asked.
Yeah. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, well, are they going to even answer my email? First of all, but like, are they, you know, it's just kind of like, okay. Like, and I think the weird thing for me to navigate is like, I never really mind it from the fans, like it because it has become this kind of like weird part of the NWSL culture. And like, that's fine. Like, also, like, I definitely came out of fandom culture before I became a reporter, right? Like, you know, I had the conversion moment in the 1999 World Cup. Then I became an intern, then I went back to college, right? And then like kind of fell away and then came back in as a fan first and then realized like, oh, I should get involved in this space in a more regular fashion. But like, you know, I've joked with Pablo, my coworker, like the fans here have been formed by the pits of Tumblr, right? Like this is where so much of our humor comes from, is this kind of like online culture. So like when it's coming from the community level, I don't mind it at all. And like, if it's a team, even sometimes like Houston has that online persona, right? And I'm like, right, I get it. Orlando, right?
Yep.
But I think the bigger conversation here and something that we've been kind of talking about is like the league is growing, the culture is changing. How do we start navigating this kind of culture trying to grow along with it, where we do have this kind of like long-standing, in-jokey, organic humor, and then suddenly like people trying to use that in really weird ways that we don't anticipate.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think when it comes from someone that's like not the community or not the team level, it's, you know, it doesn't feel as organic and it feels a little less earned.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you look at the Orlando Pride, like they came up with a whole social media strategy when they couldn't go to the Challenge Cup. Like they were able to build something.
And it kind of showed that they got it.
Yeah.
I think part of it. I would also say this joke in particular came out of the fact that women's sports are understaffed and underinvested in. And we weren't getting the schedule until 2 weeks before games started, right? Yeah. And there is kind of an earned or understood
hustle to keeping this league going and to keeping communication about the league going, less so now, which is good. But in the early days, it was like, where is this game being played? Yeah. How do I watch it? you know, who's got score updates? And most of that was happening on Twitter because we didn't have those resources at teams or at a league level. I think it's really cool that we're finally getting to the point that there's someone who's going to be responsible for communicating the schedule. It's not Meg. And Meg actually has an entirely different job, whole job, that doesn't involve this. And we look forward to killing this joke one day. Mm-hmm. But as the league grows and we get all this new money and new faces and new voices, we are going to have to figure out a way to balance that new energy coming in and people who want to take part, and then people who are defensive of kind of where the league's come from and where the community around the league has come from and how we've gotten to today. I think yeah. there's been a lack of recognition that I don't know if the league would be where it is today without the fans or without the people who took it upon themselves early days, much like yourself, to talk about the league online, to communicate about it, to go out and take photos and kind of the very beginnings of NWSL media. Without that kind of organic growth and support, I don't know if we'd be where we are today. And I think part of, you know, the league wandering into our jokes comes from like, hey guys, you know, we'd appreciate a nod. But like, you know,
yeah. Yeah, but it, when it happens though, it's kind of like when your mom comes into the party and is like, "Hey kids, raise the roof." Mm-hmm. You're like, "That's not cool when you do it, mom."
God. Yeah.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, like, you know, as someone who is suddenly kind of at the heart of a joke that's being navigated in a very interesting way, like for me, it's very different when like Alex Morgan mm-hmm. gets in on the joke, right? Which feels like, okay, you're paying attention. Like mm-hmm. also like I'm in that space at the same time. And yeah. it feels like, okay, like it's a call out joke, but it's not weird in yeah. that particular instance. For me, it's very interesting just because like it also, when I sign off on the two of you doing the shirts or like make, like there's buy-in on the joke, right? Like it feels like a community thing. And then sometimes I think when we start to see people come in over the top, there's not always that kind of like, as you say, it's the mom wandering into the room being like, "Hey guys, what are we doing? Oh, we're making fun of Meg right now? Okay, great." Like,
it's like, no, actually we're not.
We're not.
Fun of Meg. We're kind of making fun of you guys. Meg is unfortunately the recipient of the fallout of it. And for me, if anything, the shirt is a show of sympathy in your direction of and appreciation of just like, you know, you've done a lot of work in this league to keep it where it is and to talk about it and publicize it. And all we really want is for you to get to take a vacation. And so, yeah, it'd be great if, you know, there was kind of some some balancing out of that power structure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really, I keep going back to that Verge article from this summer, right? Which I think was a really good look into fan culture. And I always feel like those articles can be kind of risky, right? In terms of like not super understanding it. But Nicole Wetzman, who is the author of this, I mean, we talked for probably 40 minutes on the phone when she was writing. And I know she spoke to a lot of different people about the space and just like fans, media, kind of like all sides of it. And you know, what I think is really interesting is this idea from Lindsay Behrens, who now works for the Washington Spirit, but at the time worked for the league. And, you know, she's like, well, I mean, the fan base is very online, right? Like she might as well have capitalized very online. but that there is this kind of accountability, right? And I think the interesting thing for me is as the league grows, like the accountability isn't going away. But also now, like, we're kind of navigating the gatekeeping part in a new fashion and that accountability part. Like, it's just, I think we're having very different conversations than what we were having in 2013 when the league was forming, right? Which was really that kind of desperate energy of, like, please like my league, right? Like, there's that kind of energy. And now, like, there is this protective thing, but also just, like, I do sometimes get the sense that there is this energy of like, you weren't around with us suffering while we had the go 90 orb, right? Like there is kind of this, we always get these waves of new fans in, right? And 2019 was obviously a huge thing. 2020, I think though, like really did balloon in a way that a lot of us did not anticipate though.
Yeah.
And so now we're kind of, now that we're in 2021 and we're kind of looking back at like, how is NWSL going to be quote unquote normal again and how this grows and interacts with that fan culture? Like where are your heads at in terms of some of these bigger conversations about like what comes next for the culture of the NWSL?
I think I'm a little less worried about the gatekeeping. I think the women's hockey community is kind of something I look to for that, where it's like you're kind of gatekeeping with a purpose over there, where it's like if there's a certain sports media group who won't be named on this podcast because no thank you, who decided that they want to get in, it's like I'm happy to gatekeep that away from my sport, because it's like those are the eyeballs that probably aren't interested anyway,
right?
Like that I'm happy to be like, I don't think you want this here.
Well, they want to use it. They want
you want to use this.
Yeah,
it's a very bachelor of are you here for the right reasons,
yeah,
sort of a feeling. I think we're in this space, and I think all of us are mostly very attuned to how it's affecting women's soccer and the NWSL. But I think it's actually happening in all of the women's sports as that stock kind of grows, or stonks, yep. I think we're kind of in our awkward teen years, which is actually very cool because we haven't gotten to be here before.
Yeah.
We haven't had a league last this long.
Yep.
So we're going into uncharted territory, which is scary. There's a lot of new people coming in and new influences. And while ultimately that's a good thing for the growth of the league, it also means things are going to change. And I think now is a really important time for folks who have been in, you know, the pits of Tumblr and or, you know, were suffering along the way while this league kind of got its legs under it of, what is important to you? What's important to hold on to? What do you want this league to ultimately grow to be like? That's been kind of a guiding thought for me for a long time that was introduced to me in a question from a Burn It Down episode years ago. But it stuck with me because we have this feeling of we don't want to be like the men's leagues necessarily. We actually have a really cool thing going here already.
Yeah.
So how do we preserve it, but also let it grow, which is, you know, it feels like parenting a little bit of like, we want you to get your independence and leave flourish. The
nest. Be yourself.
But also like, you know, but we like you the way you are a bit. And I think it's a bit bittersweet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I don't think there's ever been this much capital come in to a women's sport at once.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to change things. And I hope for the better. I hope this means that people who haven't been getting paid are just finally going to start getting paid. I hope journalists start getting paid and don't have to freelance anymore. I think one thing that I do think might change from a fan perspective, I do feel like access might start going away
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That might be a change that we might see go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least I do think, you know, like even going back to like WSA days, right? Like I just think about the way that we have traditionally kind of accessed the athletes themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously social media has become a huge part of this too. But I think also just in terms of like women's athletes, again, like we're kind of having that bigger fundamental discussion of like, what is your job here? Right. Mm-hmm. Because we're not expecting LeBron to be out here on Twitter personally interacting with people on Twitter. Right. And I don't think that expectation necessarily exists for like top tier, but like, you know, the 18th player on the roster of an NWSL team also has to figure out like, how do I make that connection with fans? Like, how do I support the team? How do I grow the team? So that is kind of the bigger thing of women's athletes are kind of expected to be all things at all times, like an athlete, marketing expert, brand.
Yeah.
It's just like, did everyone go to business school to figure out how to maximize their, right? Yeah.
And most of them have, you know, side jobs or side hustles, either being like coaching, camps, apps, you know, clothing lines. They're doing so much. And it's interesting to me if you juxtapose like Michael Jordan, let's say, was very inaccessible. And back in the day, probably when you're all growing up, of like, there was no way for me, a kid in Indiana, to get in touch with Michael Jordan or even him to know I exist. And then the internet comes along and all of a sudden and social media like makes everyone much more approachable. And to some extent that bar does lower. But then as the league gets more popular, it's kind of counterbalancing to make things a little more like, hey, maybe they shouldn't have to do all of this. And yeah. So a lot of that I think is going to come from the players drawing those boundaries and creating like their own spaces where they feel comfortable to interact. And working with team leadership, league leadership to, you know, maybe commodify it. So it might be, you know, if you're a season ticket holder, you get to interact and do a Q&A. But if you're not, that access might drop a little bit. And I think we have to be okay with that and understand that that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a conversation for a lot of things, just in terms of, I mean, I think about kind of like the new trend of, I see this stuff on like BuzzFeed a lot of just like some random waitress will be like, this person's an asshole. And I'm just like, okay, like I get it, because also like I am very firmly like, if you are rude to wait staff, like I judge you as a person. But at the same time, like not every like famous person, celebrity, what athlete, whatever it is going to be on 100% of the time. Like people are allowed to have bad moments or not want to interact with you at a certain level if they are not
in the place of work. Yeah. Like they should get to have their own lives. Yeah. And I think that's actually kind of a cool thing of money coming into the league is they don't have to hustle as much. And I think as fans seeing that as a positive is gonna take some work. But I think ultimately it benefits the players and the leagues, which is what we love.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's, so I just wrote that big feature on Angel City, right? In terms of like thinking about the kind of money that is now going to be coming into this league and how it can get used. But also, I mean, so fundamental to that team's origin story is the fan group in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. right? In terms of driving the conversation of like, we deserve a team here, the fact that there had been no women's professional soccer since LA Soul fell apart, right? Like, there's the accountability part, but then there's also the fact that, like, this, we have seen the power of women's soccer fans, and it's not just to, like, bully ESPN.
it kind of worked over the summer.
It worked.
And that's
not bad, because also, I mean, so every time that I've done, like, the surveys, right? Like, one of the big questions I did on that first NWSL survey was, like, what is the biggest thing holding the NWSL back? And I mean, the two answers that essentially tied for first place were money and sexism. And so how do you fight sexism, though, in terms of, like, institutions? Sometimes it is just yelling at people on Twitter.
Right. And I think that a lot of the point is, in bringing it back to comedy a little bit, is punching up.
Right.
Make sure that the people you're coming after are the people who have power to make change, and big change, mm-hmm. On that institutional level. And if you see someone make a misstep that, you know, is someone who you've seen on Twitter a bunch and have interacted with even, the approach might be different. And so learning when to use which powers is an important skill of this internet community, I mm-hmm. think. But I also think there's something to be said for the people with power that hear it and acknowledge it and make changes. I think CBS did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
They kind of adjusted and they listened to feedback. And that, if anything, with last year being their first year with the Challenge Cup, gave me a lot of hope for the future of how it can grow. And getting to see people that previously we've really only seen on Twitter or on, you know, blogs or writing articles about the league on TV was exciting for all of us. Like, getting to see Sandra yeah. on TV was like, Sandra's
on TV.
I was just like, she made it. She's doing it.
It's like a pregame, a postgame, a halftime right. show. Like, yeah. ha!
It can be done. And it's a bit validating, I think, of the community feedback loop of how it can be used for good.
Right.
But yeah, there's always ways it can be used for evil or for bullying. And I think that's something we're going to have to be wary of.
Yeah.
All right. So I think one last one, I think that was a good talk about NWSL culture, which is just something that I tend to think about maybe too much, but in terms of where the two of you, what are the plans, maybe a little sneak peek at the content for, it is kind of crazy to think, like, yes, we are in the longest preseason ever, but Challenge Cup is around the corner.
Sure is.
The regular season right after, like, what was fun is, during the off season, quote unquote, that we got, you know, discussing with my editors, and I was like, I started listing all the things that were going to start happening in 2021. I was like, this year's going to be worse somehow.
Yep.
Like, I thought somehow. 2020 was like the most intense year of work I've ever had somehow. And I went to a World Cup the summer before.
Yep.
2020 was way harder. And then I looked at 2021 and I was like, oh, this is the year that's going to kill me.
I think it might be. I think for us, our process at this point has been kind of slow and steady, especially with the indoor time that 2020 afforded us, was let's work on figuring out what we want to do, really, where we want to go with it, and even just like what platform, because we've dabbled on Twitch, we've done yeah. YouTube, we hang out on Twitter mostly, and like TikTok exists and we find it entertaining, but we're a little afraid of it.
I understand that. But, I only signed yeah. up because of the Portland sponsorship, and then I looked at it and then I was like, I don't know if I want to open this again. Like, if it's good, I'm going to see it on Twitter, and I feel too old. I have too many gray hairs for this. So
that's about how I feel. I think I just mentioned dyeing my hair this morning again, because I was like, it feels too old for TikTok content. Yeah, I think our plan right now is to kind of keep going steady, get ourselves figured out in terms of like what we want to do. In terms of content, we're
workshopping. We're putting together a more regular show, I think, is the goal of getting in the rhythm of a regular show, and figuring out what that looks like and what aspects of things we've enjoyed doing we can put in 30 minutes and make it a bit more of a formal process. So be it talking about, you know, the week's events, I feel like we've got a lot of that, but maybe a humorous take on it, or, you know, a critical take on it, just a bit of banter between us, so that, again, we're not just talking to ourselves more. And then continuing with the sketch, I think the sketch comedy is where we feel most comfortable right now.
Yep.
And then, yeah, maybe some games and some silliness. I think to some extent, we feel like women's sports always has to be an inspiration story or has to be an emotional journey. And we're like, no, we just want to have a couple of beers and, like, you know, shoot the shit and
like fun.
Talk about sports in the way that men get to talk about men's sports. Like, let's have the argument, but maybe not be yelly sportsmen on our TV.
Yeah, we don't need to get all worked up about it.
Yeah, so I think
men are so emotional, as they say.
That's true. That's very true. We're hoping to get a 30-minute show coming out soon.
And just have so many documents, so many sketches. There's a lot of them. Lots of notes apps filled with ideas.
And then post-vaccine, like, we really want to get out and talk to people. Like, that's kind of where this started, was somewhat of a Billy on the street mentality.
But less confrontational.
But even just, you know, getting out and getting people's thoughts and getting them to play with us, making it more of a fun space for everyone. So that's the hope there. We really want to get out to some games this year. Planning on Euros 2021, fingers crossed, assuming that happens.
Assuming there's no super virus that takes us down.
2022.
Yeah, they're still called, I think, 2021, but they are taking place in 2022.
Like, it's 2021 now, Emily.
Is it?
In theory. World Cup. I think right now that's kind of the end of the tunnel of, figuring out if we can really, really do that full time almost there and, you know, make a silly time of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that and playing with friends. That's our other theme of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fun whenever we can incorporate folks who are in the community. Like, when we got to make a video, like, with you and Shireen and Andre and Erica, like, that was peak fun.
Yeah. Have you attended an NWSL championship yet?
I have in 2016 in Houston.
Okay.
The fun thing is, too, like, when we were coming up, or when we were starting this, we didn't have a local NWSL team.
Right.
So a lot of this was, how do we engage with the community when we're so removed from it in LA? And we didn't have a team. And then the day after we started telling people we were leaving LA to move to Michigan during the pandemic is the day that Angel City announced they were coming to LA. So it felt a little personal, and we're not mad about
it. It's fine.
But now we get to go, you know. Hopefully we've got Chicago is a few hours away. I grew up an hour from where Louisville Stadium is. So pregame at my parents' house.
Okay.
For anyone who wants to join, party bus down will be good. I'm hoping we can just, you know, travel every weekend and go see some games.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very NWSL championships are an adventure. I'll put it that way, at least the way that I have experienced them. It is usually the night that I remember that I am pretty much a lightweight by the end of the night, and it is never a good end for me. I've had some truly, truly epic hangovers the day after the NWSL championship, mostly because, like, you know, the season is done, right? But also, you know, and again, as we're talking about access, right? Like, you can frequently kind of end up in the same space as the players. But not necessarily always either. Like, I think honestly, there was the championship in Portland when North Carolina won, but we still went out with all the Portland people, and it was just kind of like sad bastard drinking that then turned into karaoke, right? Like there is joy to both sides, even though it is also painful. But as you were saying, like that is kind of the joy of actually just treating sports as sports.
Yeah. Let's have fun with it. The relief, I think, of the season, you know, I'm guessing you all hit send on the story and the wrap up of the game. And it's
it is just like okay. Literally trying to get that story done and then being like, what bar is everyone else? Because everyone else is already gone and is usually already at least four drinks in by the time the media start to straggle in. So then it's catching up. And also my personal challenge to myself this year is outgrowing Steph Young's encouragement of Fireball in NWSL events, because that is
it goes down so smooth, Meg.
It does not.
I'm gonna be team Meg on this one. So
okay, I'll be on team enabler. Thank you.
We did class it up a little bit in North Carolina. The Cooligans and Equalizer Soccer had an event, and we were drinking Bud Light in honor of the sponsorship, but we were drinking bourbon instead of Fireball. So there was slight improvement.
Yeah, that seems good.
So
I think you could be swayed to team bourbon over Fireball.
I could, but like with Fireball, you just kind of knock it back. With bourbon, you want to get fancy with and just be like, bourbon.
All right.
I'll just be like sipping a Guinness in the corner.
We could do an entire podcast on bourbon as far as I'm concerned. But please tell folks where they can find the two of you, where they can watch videos, all whatever you'd like to promote. If you would like to promote the shirt, you can feel free to do so at this time.
Sure. So you can find us on Twitter at Galpal Sports. The t-shirt should be the first pinned tweet.
We're also on Instagram and TikTok, theoretically, also at Galpal Sports. And then, from all those, there are links to YouTube, which unfortunately doesn't have a cool, cool URL, but
it's cool in its own way.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to the two of you for being on the pod. And I will be very curious to see how many t-shirts. I'm waiting for the world to open back up and for me to go to a game for the first time and to see that t-shirt in the wild, because I don't know what I'm going to do about it yet. I have not figured out what the normal human reaction is to seeing one of those shirts in the wild.
I don't think we have yet either. That kind of scares us a bit. But we did get an Instagram DM from someone who said they ordered theirs and was very much looking forward to wearing it to an NC Courage game. So that'll be pretty cool.
Okay, good. So at least I know. Like, I'm assuming there's probably at least one in every NWSL market. The question is, like, does it line up with a game I'm at? So we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, we'll come up with a timing schedule and everyone will put their
people can sign up based on my travel schedule once. Just so that way.
You'll just have to always wear your no shirt. No. You just get a shirt, get you a shirt that says not Meg Linehan. You keep walking.
It's not me.
All right. Well, thank you again for being on the pod. Super appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you to Emily and Leslie for their time. And if you do go purchase one of those Meg Is the Schedule Out Yet t-shirts, just a reminder that all of the proceeds of this run are going to Black Voters Matter. So it is definitely for a good cause right now in the larger work of ensuring voter rights. It's an organization that I deeply admire. So if you can give a little extra on top of the t-shirt cost, I highly, highly encourage that. Okay. One more thing, Megan Duggan actually mentioned this on the bonus podcast from last week about the PWHPA, but I did specifically want to flag the fan project to the listeners of the show. Now, this is a whole endeavor started by Angela Ruggiero. Here's how it works. You download your Twitter data, they take it, they make it anonymous, and then they use everyone's collective data to justify greater resources and investment into women's sports, including the coverage of women's sports. That's the plan. So there will be a link in the show notes, but everything you need to know is at thefanproject.co, including how to download all of your information from Twitter that they need. And then you get a reward when you actually submit it, whether that's a $15 gift card to Fanatics or a t-shirt or a tote bag, you get to pick. It is not a huge time suck. So I definitely recommend it. I'm very hopeful that having this kind of data, which is driven by fans, might change some minds. Okay. As always, the home for the show is at fulltimepod.com. There is the trailer for 2021. We've got links to Apple, Spotify, Google, The Athletic, everywhere that you need to listen to the show on your platform of choice. As always, please make sure you subscribe. You can share the show with a friend or two. Again, you know the drill. Your subscriptions, your ratings, your reviews all help grow the show, as well as your engagement, your retweets, your Instagram stories, everything else that you do to support this podcast about women's soccer. And as always, I appreciate all of the extra effort. Now, if you do want more women's soccer content, plus everything else The Athletic has to offer for just $3.99 a month, it is March Madness time, right? So we've got a lot of women's college basketball going on right at the moment. You can start your new subscription at theathletic.com/fulltime. As always, you can find me on Twitter at It's Meg Linehan. Our podcast producer is Michael Zimmerman. From The Athletic, I'm Meg Linehan, and thank you for listening.